This is a special episode of our side podcast, the Lando Calrissian Experience. We are actually reviewing Luke Cage, the episodes 1 through 4. Wanted to give our regular Stroud Lowcast fans and listeners a little preview of this side podcast we have. If you like this episode that we review Luke Cage, tune in and subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience and listen to the other recaps with that, as well as other shows where we talk about movies, geek culture, comic books, everything else. Hope you all enjoy this episode, and hope you all come on over to Lando Cal as well and get some of that black geekdom as well. Peace.
You know, it's something powerful about seeing a black man as bulletproof and unafraid. Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The streets got mad love for Cage. I got mad love for Cage, man, and he won eyes.
Welcome to the Lando Cal Luke Cage special edition show. This is going to be a special show for everyone that listens to Lando Cal. We're going to review Luke Cage, but we're going to break it down into 4-episode increments. So if you haven't seen all the show, you could jump in on different occasions and you can jump in on us discussing different parts of the Luke Cage series. As always, I got my man, the Oracle, James Bishop, and my partner in crime, Teddy Simpson, as always. So. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, so fellas, first episode, first 4 episodes. I'm on. Teddy said he don't remember them, so I'll read some synopsis as well of them if you can remember. We can talk about the first one while I pull this up. What y'all think about the first episode? I think the first episode is one of the best introduction episodes of the
Garbage.
Marvel series.
Horrible.
Okay, Teddy.
Horrible.
Okay, explain why you think it's horrible.
I'm fucking right. I didn't think it was horrible. I think it's. It sets the tone for, you know, the series extremely well. You know what I'm saying? Like, for those people, like, for example, I have some, you know, a very limited and small background with Luke Cage. So coming in, seeing it for the first time got me super interested. Was very, I don't want to say it didn't do a whole bunch of explaining in the first, but it was enough to, you know, capture the interest and show, you know, the vital pieces of Luke Cage that, you know, that those who may not know Luke Cage and his abilities. So, yeah, I thought it was perfect.
James?
Yeah, man. I mean, me personally, I agree with Ted 100%. Like, the way the whole setting of, like, it really does set a true tone of what you're about to experience. Like, from the intro of when you actually see Luke in the barbershop, you know, talking to Pop and, you know, all the other fellas in there, you know. Just pretty much, I would say the tone's already being set because you know it's going to be a superhero show, but you also know it's going to have a lot of references to what's going on in Black America now. Hmm. And I could see kind of the tones being set up front. And it was like, okay, I can rock with this so far. Like, I was like, the first 10 minutes in, I was like, I'm in. So I was just, and like, you know, you start off a conversation about fucking basketball, you know, automatically, like, straight up barbershop talk. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, it's the same dude who did Lost and everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. So I think it's going to be a perfect time. Me personally, I think it's a perfect way to start everything up.
Yeah, I thought it was a perfect way to start. I think it set the hell of a tone of this. This is gonna be a black ass show, and y'all gonna be ready for this black ass show that we gonna give y'all on Netflix with Luke Cage.
Right.
Is the backdrop. So we can just talk about the first 4 kind of in totality. Just give y'all a rundown of what happened in the first 4 episodes. Meet Cottonmouth, which you find out he's a distributor for a man named Willis Stryker, aka Diamondback. You meet Shades. As well as Luke bangs out Misty Knight, and then you see how gangster she is as Misty Knight as a detective. You figure out the whole plot with basically Andre, or not Andre, I forgot the kid's name, Dre. It was whoever that the bartender was there, and how this whole thing basically becomes a comedy of errors from that one incident just kind of snowballs into a bigger situation. And also, you begin to see a little bit about Luke Cage being at Seagate Prison a little bit. And because you find out, because also Cottonmouth did the craziest thing ever in a TV show almost, was shooting a grenade launcher into a restaurant from another.
Yeah, for real.
Like when it was.
I'm like, nigga.
No, when he first did it.
It wasn't even a grenade launcher, nigga. It was a missile.
A missile launcher. I'm sorry. Grenade launcher. You're right. It's a missile launcher.
This yeah. nigga used a whole Metal Gear Solid Stinger missile on me. I'm like, God damn!
Hey, when hey, you can't tell me when y'all first saw it, y'all be like, he ain't gonna really shoot this, right? Like, he gonna, like, decide not to at some point, or somebody gonna pull up and he gonna decide not to. He's like, oh, no, I'm gonna shoot this missile.
I didn't even realize that he had a missile launcher until, like, he had him in his sights. I was like, okay. Like, he might be like for real, like, and then when that little flash went off, I said, no, this nigga don't give. He has 11 fucks and kept them all in his pocket and was like, you know what, fuck him. So fuck you and anybody that's in remotely in a mile radius of you. I was like, hey, this is completely disregard.
Totally disregard. Like, this nigga used the fucking Punisher Warzone missile on a nigga. I was like, damn.
Hey, you know what's so funny? They probably picked that up from the old set. Like, you know what we can use? What about that missile from Warzone Punisher? Y'all still got that right. Prop section? Because people like Teddy was sitting out there emailing them like, hey, man, y'all need to bring that missile back from Warzone
hey,
Punisher.
For real, that was the best part in War Punisher Warzone, nigga, was that motherfucking missile. I wouldn't mind seeing it, man.
And we had 2.0 with Cottonmouth using the shit. I'm like, nigga, I know you ain't about to shoot this damn. No, you not. This nigga ain't gonna do it. Oh, shit, this nigga didn't do it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not only did he shoot the missile launcher, not only did, like, at least in Punisher Warzone, he shot it. Well, part of the war is actually when you compare it, it's actually a lot worse. Because he shot a missile launcher at just a regular nigga. Like, he wasn't no super strong nigga. It was just a regular nigga jumping from roof to roof. Okay? So, that's a lot of hate for a nigga. He's like, you know what? It ain't enough to shoot you. It ain't enough to throw rocks at you while you're trying to just, you know, throw your balance off. No, nigga. I need to blow you up from that. Like, you know how many lives that nigga had to go through to the motherfucking, reincarnate to come back to realize what the fuck happened. So with Cottonmouth, that also kind of solidified his legitimate, you know, like how legitimate he was, like you know,
like how he don't get any fucks to give in general,
like at all, like
what can we kind of know that
in the building?
But then we kind of know that from one of the best shots in comic book history is when he threw the dude off the roof. Like we kind of knew then.
Well,
though.
No. That was like the taste. Like, that was the appetizer. Because they threw him off the roof. But it was legitimate because even though that was his boy, he do broke protocol. You know what I'm saying? Like, you nigga making executive decisions, you know. And now that, he got his boy killed.
Right.
So he's like, you know, like him throw him out, like, nigga, you got to go for real. Because you just completely overstepped your boundaries. You know, I know you, and you're doing this to me. And acting like ain't shit wrong.
I know you.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, for real. Like we drive in the same car. I see you every day, and you're going to come to me and tell me, yeah, I killed your boy, but I kind of had to do it. You know, I had to make an executive. I mean, think about it, nigga. I sprayed that nigga. We are good. The shit is done. And so not only did you not kill Luke Cage, but you killed my boy?
Yeah.
Oh, nigga, yeah. It's So it's different. So you like, okay, it's a little extreme, but that nigga had it coming because he didn't give no fucks. Luke Cage, this nigga was like, hey, this is a Chinese shop. It could be kids. It could be infant twins in this motherfucker. But guess what? He basically just did. He just ain't got nobody to answer to. That's all. He basically did what his boy did. He just sprayed the place up with whoever's in there, reckless as fuck. I was like, all right, cool. You die, you die. You ain't connected to me, so I'm cool.
Hypocritical ass nigga. I was like, really?
Super hypocritical ass nigga.
Yeah.
Nigga.
Because he just shot a missile into a random area of people.
Nigga, I was like, and this is also what I got to say, and this is probably like one of the main differences between Cottonmouth and Luke Cage. And I'm glad Marvel played on this. And I'm gonna say it in the most relatable way possible for all of our listeners. Luke Cage, another power this nigga got is being a real ass nigga, being a stand up nigga. No bullshit, like for real. The first four episodes, straight up stand up dude, and he is consecutively a stand up dude. Like you can see, like how the way he moves. Like he keep to himself. He say hi to everybody when he out and about. All he got is on a hoodie and some little Beats earbuds, and that's it. And he just gonna do his shit. He work his two jobs, be super strong and can't be fucked with.
And he just
but nice,
be,
like
he
hella nice and hella cool.
And he wants to be left alone.
And he wants to be left alone, but at the same time, when Pop told him, you know, pretty much Uncle Porter, Uncle Ben on for the most part. You know what I'm saying? From Spider-Man. That's pretty much who Pop was, is the black version of Uncle Ben. Let's get that out there. I mean, it worked. I mean, it totally worked. But it was just like one of those things I was like, oh, okay. So, you noticed that with Luke Cage just being just a stand-up individual versus Cottonmouth. But Colin Cornell, this nigga's Cottonmouth. You can tell he's doing this kind of, he does it, but you can tell he kind of just like, but it's kind of like, he's kind of like overcompensating from like trying to like be him. Cause you know, you see a nigga that's coming out here, you cannot cut him or shoot him. This nigga can lift up a washing machine like an empty cardboard box with one hand.
Yeah.
Are you sure you were just as a nigga? You really just, because if you see something like that, you automatically gonna pull like a Lex Luthor and be like, "Oh fuck you, nigga!" Like, so I don't give a fuck who you are, nigga. I run this shit.
That's
like,
the way he looked.
Well,
like.
That's the way he looked at it. But like, my nigga, like, I'm just trying to be left alone. But at the same time, you being a fuck boy, so I got to bring you down a peg. And if you being a fuck boy is a fuck boy. I don't care how much you can have $1 to $100 million. If you're acting like a fuckboy, that's you just acting like a fuckboy. Luke Cage knew that. And that's why I'm like, nah, like, and they really played on that. And I also like the fact that Luke Cage also, he's very adamant of not trying to use the N-word.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, we use the N-word on this show all the time. But I will say for what Luke Cage brought to the table, he did have a point. Like, I was like, you know what? And me personally, I do try to limit saying it as much, and I understand it. But my, I see it sometimes is I stop saying it when I stop saying it. So I get that with Luke Cage, me personally.
So
what
y'all
do
like,
y'all think?
What y'all like? What y'all like? What y'all think about Misty Knight the first four episodes?
I like Misty Knight. I don't know if. You know, and it maybe just go back to something we were talking about earlier with the crossover between Luke and Iron Fist, but I didn't really see the necessary involvement of, you know, her and Luke Cage to cross paths in the way that they did.
They didn't need to have sex with each other, you saying?
Right, right. It was unnecessary. I don't know if they did it just to make shit awkward. You know
maybe, my thing is they could have had them just not have sex or something, knowing just like be you know something where it was like random where they didn't do nothing but they was together.
Right, because I'm thinking at this point, Iron Fist and Luke Cage about to be Eskimo brothers in a minute, my nigga. Because that
hey, real talk, that's all this stuff, man.
Shit, I mean just being honest.
Yeah,
but,
so that's
go
I'm
ahead,
Ted,
I'm sorry,
that's
man.
Yeah, we go ahead.
Well, no, I feel exactly the same way. I was just like, I liked her. I liked her a lot. I feel like she was the lady that played her, you know, represented her well. Again, I don't like have a strong background with, you know, that series, but I just think everybody who played their part pretty much overall did a great job. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, we can talk about my feelings as a series as a whole after we, you know, work through all the episodes, but I think she did a good job. I think she played off of Luke Cage well. She held her own well.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out, like, I wasn't really sure, you know, and I'm doing my best not to spoil.
Yeah. Yeah. This is basically up to the first four.
You say what?
I said basically we're up to where the rocket launcher happens, and he go to Seagate. They go to flashbacks to Seagate. That's the farthest you going on this episode.
Yeah, how he became Power Man for the most part.
Yeah.
Right, but nothing. So what's it called? It hadn't happened yet, though, right? The Christmas Addicts hadn't happened yet, right?
Yeah. Christmas Addicts has
Yeah, all that's all the first four episodes. Yeah.
You said what?
Yeah, it happened
all
like
that's the first four episodes. Yeah.
Third.
It's number three. It's number three.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't want to. So, Misty Knight was cool. I wasn't really sure about how I felt about her, and I mean, they did a decent job of connecting her relationship to her partner.
Right.
I think that was still, I don't know, I'm still not really sure how I feel about that yet, like if it was really sold to me, like how she really felt about him. Christmas Addicts, I told Daryl how I felt about this, like, and to me, it just kind of permeates throughout the whole series. And I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that the writers and the you know, the producers, whoever, who put it on, felt like they had to make an exclamation point behind being black and this being an all-black show. But there were times that I just felt that it was too exclamatory. Like, it was too much expose. Like, they were too saying how they felt. Well, they were just saying, I am a black woman, a Henry Ward, and I will never bow down. And I was like, but you don't have to say that. Like, it can be shown, you know, through pictures, through actions, through, you know, things that are happening through the story. You don't always have to basically say how you feel and what you are or what you're not going to do.
Just,
you know what I'm saying?
Do it. Yeah, just do it.
Just do it, exactly. Like I wasn't really sure how I felt about him, you know, when he went through, when the kid was about to blow his head off at Christmas Addicts. And he went into this whole, you know, black history lesson to, you know, in front of his kids. I'm like, I don't know if that's really necessary. I understand what you're doing.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I said I actually like the fact that his character, even in it's very closely related to the comic, which is he doesn't like even using the N-word. Like, he straight hates the N-word. Mm. So it's like,
right. And I guess the way I would have done it, I guess even differently, like, I almost would have had him raged out because that happens right after Pops dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of what puts us on, like, instead of him going into this huge, you know, this damn lecture about, you know, Christmas Addicts and the first black man and I'm a black man and I will not die on my knees and I'm going to do this and blah, 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 and, you know, the nation and all the rest of this shit. You know, he turns around, face the kid, grab a gun, grab a little dude by his shirt, lift him up, be like, I hate that word, and just throw that nigga into the park. And they got to be this whole, you know, I don't want to even call it like I'm black and I'm proud, you know, because I like the fact that term is still history, but I feel like sometimes it convolutes the story, if that makes sense, or it takes away from the character because trying to make him do too much.
Okay, I can see that.
I can see where you're coming from with that.
I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, I definitely can. So, like, I mean, that Christmas Addicts scene was so gangster, though, man. Like, the way that whole scene played out was so dope. Just the shooting of that one. You think they were trying to throw back a little bit to the Daredevil scenes like that? Scene like that? The hallway scene?
Hey, I don't. It's...
You understand where I'm coming from with that? Like, how that hallway scene?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think that's the nature of all of the Netflix Marvel series is this really, you know, low-lit, dark undertone, you know, especially when the hero, like, you know, people love to do the action shot in hallways because it's like there's nowhere to go.
Right, you got to confront your target.
You got to fight, you know what I'm saying? And it really, that's the moment you really realize, is, you know, especially all the verbiage that they're using across the internet now is, you know, the bulletproof black man. Because literally, he didn't, and I guess that's what made it, what most people appreciate about it, is the fact that he didn't really change anything that he was doing as he was walking through that motherfucker. Like, it was a leisurely walk through bullets, people, doors. Like, he was juggernaut at 2 miles an hour.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, he literally just had the most kind of like, right. It was like, well, let me put on my headphones, let me go ahead, blast this Wu-Tang, bring the motherfucking workers, and cleared out Fort, the hood version of Fort Knox. Took out about a good, what, 20, 30 dudes?
Yeah.
The only thing that was unrealistic to me was that that a community center would be that big of a drug spot like that. Like, that'd be way much on the way more on the radar to me. That a spot like that would be that deep with drug money.
I think it's just they trying to hide in plain sight. Like, I'm guessing that's their whole plan. Like, it's like I'd rather just hide in plain sight. Like, because if, you know, because if you guys see, I like, because we, since we already know Black Mariah is pretty much, you know, we already know she corrupt as fuck,
right,
clearly. But if you're saying, but, you know, since that she's been pushing that so hard, that Chris Pizzatic's building, and at the same time, she's also saying shit because of her peoples, you know, he was like, well, I can go ahead and do all this shit and do all this money laundering and go ahead and clean all this money at the same time in this building, and no one will ever try to really truly put two and two together. Like, it's like hiding in plain sight. So it's like, sometimes it can work, but clearly, third episode, Luke figured it out and cleared that bitch out. 7 million gone. Bruh, 7 million gone.
What do y'all think about Cottonmouth as a total villain in general so far in these first four episodes?
Damn, see, I got that feeling in me bubbling up. I want to spoil the shit.
No.
I like Cottonmouth. I like Cottonmouth as a character. I like the dude that played Cottonmouth.
Marcella Ali.
I really feel like, you know, in talking with the Oracle, trying to understand, because I remember, it's funny, the name Cottonmouth really just takes me back a year ago when we were discussing Jessica Jones.
I was thinking about that, and you was like, so the dude got serrated teeth, like crazy.
My man the Oracle was sitting here trying to explain to me why Cottonmouth is a legitimate, you know, a legitimate threat, and I'm like, okay, you got a nigga that's basically indestructible.
With gold, with and a nigga fighting, with gold teeth, gold serrated teeth.
Right, and he's fighting a nigga with gold shark teeth.
Like, well, he's also supposed to be one of the only dudes who can actually hang with Luke Cage on some level. But think about what Cottonmouth is. Cottonmouth, he laughs, but, you know, I mean, clearly, Cottonmouth in the comic book is technically kind of a lower level villain, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And compared to fucking Diamondback, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I can see that. Well, I can see that just from the way that they built the story here. But I'm just like, I guess
he gets so damn
in
good of
reading
a
like some of his.
That's what he's giving so good of a performance. It's kind of off right now.
Oh no, he did a hell of a performance. Like, you know, he you know, I read an article they were talking about like Cottonmouth and why they love him. It's because right now Marvel has the ability to build layered villains, so you don't really have a true, just one dimensional person where you just like, I just hate this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, so kind of like they did with Kingpin, and even your boy,
Kilgrave.
You know, when they start to, you just start digging into their past, you start getting a better understanding of why they do what they do, and realize that they weren't always the way that they were. You know what I'm saying? And that there's reasons and yeah.
You start to feel some sympathy
behind
some
the madness.
Sympathy for them.
Well, yeah, it's sympathy. It's understanding. But even more so, it's relatable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so you got, like, with Cottonmouth, well, we damn got to that part, so I won't say that, but with Cottonmouth, you have the ability to try to see this man. And honestly, you really want to know what makes him a likable villain? It's not the same, it's the same difference, which is, I don't even know how that works, but with Kingpin, you develop some sympathy and relatability because of his love for a woman, right?
And his upbringing, like going through all that
drama.
And his
upbringing. Right, going through that drama. But I'm just taking that out because apparently every villain has a dramatic past, right? So just even removing that, and you just say, okay, everybody is falling in love with somebody at some point, right? So you start to realize why he starts to do the work that he's doing, how he can be manipulated, and where, you know, you feel like he's untouchable except in this area, right? This is his weakness. So what makes Cottonmouth the relatable villain, especially to black folks, is the fact that even though he is villainous, a lot of his struggles is trying to uplift the black people in the community.
Right.
So you're conflicted. You
Yeah.
see what I'm saying? So, you know, at one point, you know, he's selling drugs to the community, but at the same time, he's, for the niggas that's not on drugs, come to the community center. I'm doing scholarships. I'm set up a boxing ring so niggas get the fuck up out the hood. I want to, you know, build not low income housing, but affordable housing where people can, you know, rebuild Black Wall Street, whatever. So now you're like, damn, this nigga got some really good visions. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you don't really know how to feel. You're like, damn, that's really fucked up. But at the same time, how do you get enough power to do the things that this man is talking about without doing dirt?
Well, a man in his position from where he's at, I can kind of see that. Like I can see that because it's like kind of like when I watched Black Market on Viceland, like with Michael K. Williams. Like when I watched a couple of episodes, and I saw, you know, literally they have dudes in masks and voice changes, you know, to protect their identity. But they made a very good point, which is like, yo, I don't want to do shit like this, but I kind of have to because I can't get money any other way. Like I literally can't get any money any other way. This is what I have to do because of the circumstances I'm in. So with Cottonmouth's situation, which we'll get into in the next episode, more, but with Cottonmouth's current situation in these four episodes, you get that feeling, but you won't get it for real till later on. But it really does kind of hint, and you can kind of tell with Cottonmouth, like you said earlier, what like you can tell he had some trouble. It's kind of like he was like, okay, he's kind of like if Michael Corleone, like if you put like a Michael Corleone in a sense. Somewhere kind of like you could kind of get he's kind of over time, like you tell, like he's in a position where he does and does not want to be it. You could kind of get a sense like he wants to get into this because of the power, the money, and all this other shit. But you kind of get a sense that he don't. Like, yeah, I got this shit, but and I'm trying to floss. I'm doing all this shit, but I mean, if you know one nigga to another, you know that shit don't last. You know, being real with yourself, you know that shit, you know that kind of feeling is only temporary. And you just like, well, what I'm gonna do? I'm trying to do this, but also I gotta get this money. So if it means I'm gonna go ahead and take over some shit in order to build my community up, that's what the fuck I gotta do. I don't want to do it, but fuck it. You see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. That makes it, Dan, that makes a lot of good sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So yeah, it's kind of like he's like a victim of his own circumstances.
Well, I
In
mean,
a sense.
but also, do y'all feel a dynamic of, well, I mean, you've never watched The Wire, have you, Teddy? You've watched The Wire, right, James?
It's been a long time, but yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't it seem like Mariah and Cottonmouth have that Stringer Bell,
Avon
Avon
Barksdale.
Barksdale relationship kind of like?
Yeah, you can kind of tell. I mean, especially suspect, you know what, you're right. You know, I can tell that. Yep. Like, I would say, I don't know, but would you consider Mariah Avon?
No. I think
Or.
she's definitely Stringer because she wants to clean
Okay,
up
I
the
was
money and
like,
don't
I
try to
would
do Stringer
definitely
Bell.
consider Stringer.
Yeah, she's definitely
Because
Stringer
Avon did
because.
not last long.
Yeah,
So.
no. But no, Avon was, you know, Avon still, I mean, Avon's still alive. I mean, so, I mean, technically in that world. But the thing is,
Right.
Avon wanted to be the streets was everything, like everything. And that's what Cottonmouth wants. He wants the respect of the streets. He wants to be king, you know. And Stringer, which is Mariah, you know, he's all about cleaning up the money and getting legit as possible, as fast as possible. I just want to be legit. I just want to be legit. And they constantly had that fight and that battle, and they were equals with each other within the drug game. So, That's I see the same thing, Mariah, because he needs Mariah for this stuff, for certain stuff, the political wise and the shield money. But then she needs him for the liquidated cash that's gonna be able to come in and nobody can report. And they had this right. You know, this communal kind of relationship and everything. And I was like, as soon as I was seeing their relationship, I was like, damn, they acting like Stringer and Avon right here, man. Like how they acted.
I can see that. You know what? Now that you mention that, I definitely see that. And you know what? You know what? Actually, low key. Like, because he reminds me of a different villain, Shades.
Yeah, let's talk about Shades. That's a good segue to Shades.
Shades is Littlefinger, bro. Shades is Littlefinger. He is Bayless. No bullshit. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, because anyone who watched Game of Thrones, you know what I'm talking about. Like, anyone who's ever seen Game of Thrones, you know exactly what I'm talking. You know exactly who and how I'm talking about. Like, he's literally at this point, he is Littlefinger. Because he literally is in the shadows. He's back. He's just watching shit play out, but he's kind of like manipulating shit for his own gain. Like, he's not Varys. He's definitely not Varys. I see he's definitely Littlefinger. Like, he's the nigga that would screw you over to get his own agenda up. But then, he's like the nigga that would throw a rock and hide his hand.
Yeah.
That he did it. So, like, I could see Shades being there.
I don't know. I think, I got it. My vision, I don't know. I don't even know how I really feel about Shades yet. I mean, he just seems annoying to me.
I think that's the purpose. I think that's his purpose, though, is to be annoying.
I mean, really, he's just kind of annoying. He talks a lot of shit. He doesn't really back it up for real.
He talks in circles a lot, too.
No, he does. Well, I don't even know if I like how he's even being portrayed. I mean, but I don't know. I still haven't really come to grips with it. Like, he's like a cool, you know, comes up to like this. I mean, the nigga sound like Harry Belafonte when he talks to me. Yeah, I'm going to beat your ass if, you know this. Diamondback comes down here, he's going to have to end up shooting. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, okay. Like, all right. So he doesn't, and I guess because he's, you know, it doesn't help that Luke Cage is just a monstrosity of a nigga, and Shades comes up to this nigga's, the back of this nigga's kneecap. So, like, it's always just really weird. The dichotomy is always really weird to me. But, like I said, he's a fucking, like, he's like a messenger. Like,
yeah, he's a messenger.
I don't even really know how to explain it. Like, he's like,
an assistant pimp, like, on How High. With
you know who that nigga is? That nigga is Kevin Hart.
Wow.
In every movie. That nigga is Kevin Hart in what's the movie he got with Ice Cube where they cop.
Oh, you talking about Ride Along.
Ride Along. Talking shit from the corner, always threatening to do, like, hey, when my boy come, hey, you know what it is.
Wait till you get here.
You know, this isn't that. But ain't nobody really worried about Shades at all. He's just in the background manipulating, you know, like, I was surprised that he helped Mariah.
Like I said, my nigga.
Well, before we go there, yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think he's an okay character. I'm not, you know. Maybe he can grow into something different, but right now he's just a voice talking shit. That's really all I see. All right,
so let's go ahead and grade these first four episodes. What do you give overall grade with them, James?
Out of what we grade, our 8 through F or 1 through F?
Yeah, we just give a grade like 8 through F.
I give it an A.
Okay.
Like I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. Like, it's one of those things where I was like, I really like. It's not a lot of times where it's only a few movies that can genuinely make me kind of smile in certain aspects. And like, and so it's, or movies or TV shows, I should say. And a TV show like that, you know, seeing what you're seeing, you know, especially, you know, seeing Power Man on fucking screen in like 40 years time, when you only seen him on like maybe on an animated level or maybe on like a fan made level, you've actually seen the official visage of this character, and it's like, wow, like, we literally are witnessing racist white America's worst fucking nightmare right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're literally witnessing their worst fucking nightmare. a bulletproof black man with super strength?
What's so
The shit
interesting is
that they
that,
already think about us?
but th this is
That's
something that
crazy.
th I want y'all to think about too, though, even with your resignation. This is supposed to be going on at the same before Age of Ultron, if you talk about if the Marvel timeline.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, this is supposed to happen before the Zenobia Accords and all that stuff.
You know what? Because they kept on talking about the incident, which is the first Avengers. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're
Yeah,
right.
and then
You're right. Yeah.
also and I forget, this is supposed to happen before season two of Daredevil, I believe. Yeah, it's supposed to happen before
Yeah.
season two of Daredevil. Because okay, this is some well, dang, that happens later on, but I when we stop, there's a part from the last two episodes that connects to Daredevil season two directly. Like
I know what you're talking about.
directly. Like straight directly.
I know exactly what you're talking about too.
Let's just straight directly. But Ted, give your thoughts, man, and you'll agree.
Full fro, man. Full fro. I give it an A. I like what it's doing for the culture. Like you said, kind of like what Darla said and what James has been saying is that it's really great to be well. Okay, let's say it this way. Daryl had put it the best when he said it's great to be able to catch almost 95 to 97% of all the references given, and I don't have to go Google shit.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
right.
So
And it's a
it's
part of your normal
literally
lexicon, like the way you regular
right.
talk
Well, not
and what
even
you
just
do.
lexicon, but just all the stuff that's happening in there. Like there are relatable moments. Like you're outside of the fucking missile launcher.
That would Actually, you know what, Teddy? It's so funny when that happened. I was like, did they listen to the podcast, listen to Teddy about shooting goddamn missiles? Like, it's some cats out there love missiles.
you always gotta have a shock moment, you know what I mean? You always got one
Right.
to just catch niggas off guard. But I do feel like I thought it was great to be able to, the music that was chosen, the way that it was titled, the the lexicon and the verbiage that was being used, all of it just resonated with most black people, which is why Netflix almost fucking crashed. Because
Bro.
people were just literally are just excited to see themselves completely, fully fleshed out on television. Like it's not, it's not. I mean, you do have some stereotypical niggas, and me and Daryl discussed that too. What's funny is like, Cottonmouth dude got a head of like Zip. Sounds like a stereotypical nigga.
From New
And
York.
you're like, damn, that nigga is a rocking stereotype. But the thing is, because of all the other people that are floating around there, it doesn't stand out.
Right.
Because and the other thing is, we all know stereotypical niggas, so it's
Right.
not like they
They
don't
do exist.
exist.
They do exist.
They do exist, and he's in his proper place.
Right.
He's not up forefront. He's not in the forefront. I'll be like, hey, this is that guy I expected in the hat. So yeah, I definitely give it an A. What
Yes.
about you, D?
I'm gonna go with an eight myself. I think it's one of the best introductory ep I think it's the best introductory episode of all the Marvel TV shows.
As them.
Just the way it comes in, and you're just like, God damn, this is black as shit, man. Like, I mean, I had to pause at one point, like, and just laugh, like, this is a black ass Marvel comic. Then I was like, well, how black is fucking Black Panther gonna be? Like, if this is
Nigga, that's
black
all
as
I'm
hell,
saying.
I'm like,
Let me ask you this then, D.
yeah.
Would your perspective be the same if you weren't black? Like, if you were compared to, I mean, now granted, we only have four Marvel shows to compare it to on Netflix.
Right.
But there's plenty to come. But up until this point, as an introductory, you're saying introductory episode, though,
Just
correct?
like the pilot episode, like the
The
first one.
pilot, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So do you feel like even with that, so let's say you was a Caucasian from New York.
But see, I
Would
think
you
a
still
Caucasian
feel
from
the
New York, you'd have to say a Caucasian. See, but you have to be a Caucasian of a certain age that it maybe have to be kind of, because if you're a Caucasian that loves hip hop, I think you would love it too, though. That first
even more than the
episode.
first Daredevil, though?
Yeah, man, because they go in the woo, they got all this stuff playing. You like, God damn.
That music is everything, bro.
Like,
Like,
that's what I'm thinking. It's the music. That music is sets up everything, man. When they playing classic joints and you like, dang, okay, this is how we gonna rock it out? And then they got
Jesus
Raphael Sadiq
Christ.
in there performing, like at the beginning of the episode. They got Faith Evans, and then they, Jadina and all these other cats. It's like, what the hell are they doing?
The music is the
I think
highlight,
it, I
one of
think
the
you know what?
main
I think if
highlights.
it's a younger white person, maybe they don't understand it, but like a white person that's hip or quote unquote like in an
Somewhere
urban.
between 30 and 45.
Yeah. Somebody remembers like New York Undercover, where every episode ended at Natalie's with the performance. You would see why that's so
Yeah.
dope that they was doing that. But if you didn't
Gotcha.
see that, you I don't think you so I guess it would all depend. And it all depends on like how much you were into hip hop in your the 30 to 40. Like if you were in Nirvana and all that, maybe not. You know what I'm saying? But if you were into hip hop at the time, I think you would get it. And I think it's some bullshit them people talking about it's too black of a show, you know.
Fuck out of here, man.
And that's a whole other thing we can, you know, conquer into. But I think it's hey, just because it was so like and then we'll get into it further things. I do think it suffers from a lot of issues as it goes the series goes along. But that those first episodes, you just like, God damn, it's just dope to be a black show. Like
Right.
this is just dope. It's almost like when you first hear you first heard Ready to Die, son, you was like, God damn, this is just crazy. Or you heard first heard Kendrick's album. You was like, this is just ridiculous. What is going on here? Like I just gotta listen to this. So I'm gonna give it an A with that. Any final thoughts, fellas? So I know we don't wanna because we're starting to get spoilery a little bit for folks.
Basically, I'm just gonna say, as a music producer, listening to the music, the score, just let's not even just let's get rid of just what the little song like the Wu-Tang and shit like that. If you're a fan of just music, man, and you're a fan of straight up scores like Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad of A Tribe Called Quest, shout out to y'all, man.
Yeah.
Like straight up gentleman class to y'all, man. Cause like that's cause y'all made me want to sample y'all, though. Like for real. Like whenever this score come
And you know,
out,
Adrian Young plays the samples, right?
bruh.
He actually play has the as samples actually played.
And that's what I'm saying, bro. Like he wants people to sample his shit, and this is why I fuck with Adrian Young. So I'm saying this right now. If Adrian Young ever hear this, bruh, I'm doing that.
Like
Go
I'm
ahead,
jacking
Ted,
you
what's up,
right
fam?
now.
Nigga,
Ted, any final thoughts?
closing thoughts,
Yeah.
man. I don't know, but hey, I mean, if you haven't made it all the way through, right? You know, stick Power Man through it, quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's worth it. I think that there'll be a few surprises in there. But just start thinking about it going into the future, like how it's going to connect to the next series that's about to be dropped on Netflix, Iron Man.
Yeah,
So,
Iron Fist.
Iron
Yeah,
Fist, yeah.
my final thoughts is, man, this I can't. It's a whole bunch coming up, man. And Marvel's doing the damn thing, man. Like all these studios are really figuring out maybe some stuff, man. And maybe we could just burn Fox to the ground and just figure out some way to get that organization, staff, and as a crew, all done with. I mean, this is. I'm mad about some other stuff we're gonna talk about on the next Lando Cal with this Logan movie, but that's all good. Yeah, and we appreciate y'all listening. We see y'all on the next review episode. Peace.
Peace.
Bang, bang.